Welcome to the Stream of Random. Today's episode, I'm just sending it out quickly to get the message out. There's two segments. I'm putting them in reverse order because I think the second segment kind of sums things up a little bit, or maybe is more oriented to help people understand. And then the first segment's longer, and I kind of ramble on as always, mixing everything together. You know me. Well, have a listen. Look forward to your feedback. And if you're interested in helping out, think about where you could find space. If you have any old computers lying around, old phones, old routers, take an inventory of what IT stuff you have, and we'll try and figure out what we can do with it. All right. Even an old, like, Netgear router. What was it called? Broadcom. The WRT routers. We can do a lot with those. All right. All right. Just got a phone call from my dad, or talked to him. And we were discussing how to get the message out. So we're going to create a web service that is used to combat social media censorship. And we're going to use different tools for generating images and text that we can embed. So, for example, CAPTCHA, we can use these, you know, those stupid CAPTCHA things where they have, like, pictures, let's say, cut out letters of a newspaper, or skewed text of all different types. Well, we can generate CAPTCHAs containing the banned information. And then we can overlay that onto pictures from text of 1984, either pictures, or we can even intersperse it with text, like every other letter or every third letter could be the code. We could generate cryptograms or crossword puzzles and all types of information, ways of encoding and breaking the machine and learning. We should generate a machine learning algorithm that busts the machine learning algorithm. It's like an adversarial network for encoding information. There's also all different types of font generators. Alternative spelling. So there's lots of different ways to do this. We should have a whole toolkit for people to use. So that's one thing we're discussing. So what I'm pitching to him is that I'll set up a web service that he can run at my house, where he can log in and back up all of his emails and social media and download it and store it, and contact all of his friends and invite them to do the same. And you can contribute by hosting your own server. Okay, now this is the road I need to take. But basically, like the days of the BBS with the dial-up, and they would call each other. So we're going to run our own servers at home. And I'll set one up at my house, and then you can dial in. And then we can host this podcast on there as well. And then eventually he can set up his own server, at his house and replicate stuff over, we can grow the network. And you can save all your social media contacts and contact them individually and via email. Upload all your phone address books. Start sorting out all your contacts. Understand who's where, where's what. How to contact each person. And create a customized image for each person containing the information. And then a QR code or a link they can click on. Connecting, we need to rebuild our network, a new network, more secure. Right. Well, I'm going to upload this and I will maybe create a second episode. I wanted to have my dad listen to this, so you guys stay tuned. Okay, kids. It's 4:40 in the morning, Saturday. And it's that time again. That's right. It's time for the first sip of coffee. So let's do that together. That's good coffee. The sky is clear with beautiful stars shining. And even a whole block down the road, my neighbor's laser lights are illuminating everyone's houses. It like shines right in my eyes when I open the door. It's like, thanks, neighbor. That's what I need. Someone to shine their laser in my freaking eyes. But I guess it's some kind of Christmas spirit. I thought Christmas was over. Maybe wrong. Maybe it's just beginning. Or maybe he's just celebrating the end of Trump. Who knows? Anyway, it doesn't really bother me that much. I just want to make a little comment. The moon is fantastic. It's a crescent just hanging in the air. It looks just like DreamWorks. But boy, this is not a dream, kids. This is not a dream. This is a phenomena. It's a phenomena. Phenomenal. God. I'm struggling with this word. Phenomenology. The Aji of phenomena. It's something like a phenomenon, let me tell you. Looks like DreamWorks. And we even have little haze around it. I'm not going to even try and take a picture with this stupid phone. Can't capture spectral phenomena with smartphone cameras. So now I'm considering setting up my own data center at home. That's right. More than a Raspberry Pi. I'm thinking about a rack. Because I'm pissed off, kids. I really am. Now, Amazon is threatening to take down Parler. And it seems to me that if the cloud is being used to censor free speech, then we need to withdraw from the cloud onto our own premises. Fourth Amendment. That's why Hillary Clinton had her server at home in her basement. Because it can't be searched or seized. And then we only do interstate communication. Yeah, well, we're going to think about all this encrypted tunnels, at least. I think it's time that we actually make a move to build out our own infrastructure in terms of, for me and my family and my friends, I can host them at home. We can use web infrastructure in the cloud as temporary stuff, disposable bouncing points, and funnels and caches. But to have the actual data center here in various locations and just start thinking about the idea that we're facing Chinese occupation or communist occupation of our country. I mean, I don't know how else to see it. We've studied the signs. America was founded on free speech and freedom of religion. Now people aren't allowed to go to church, and they're not allowed to say what they want. They're locked up at their houses, and now the internet is being censored more and more. It's like, take away everything from the people, it seems. And if I have to get a commercial internet, or if I have to co-locate my rack in a data center, then that's what we have to do. So, I think we need to think about that. We need all to think about that. And we need to get off of all of this cloud and just pretend that it's captured. And what are you going to do then? Your Gmail is captured. Your internet is captured. Your phone. Hey, your phone is captured. I have to take all my old Android phones and root them and install Linux on them directly and back them up. Well, we got lots of work to do. I'm gonna have some busy work, some house cleaning. And this may just be an exercise, but I think it's a good exercise. Well, you heard it here first. And this is gonna be the beginning. This is gonna be the beginning. So, I'm pretty angry though. It takes a lot to make me angry. Because, hey, I don't care if one person wins or the other one loses, as long as America stays intact. Because it's America that will be able to survive. But if they steal the election by modifying the law, and they're going to continue to take away people's rights by modifying the laws, we're ignoring the Constitution, then that's a problem. It seems that we've given these companies too much power, and I've warned about this the whole time, but I haven't actually done what has needed to be done. What I can do, me personally, am able to set up a server. I'm able to set up the services. I'm able to host everything. That's right, I can do it. I guess it all starts with key management. Encryption. I'm going to lay down that framework first. And I'm going to miss the Chrome browser remembering all my passwords on all these different sites. Everything is so easy to do. And the Gmail automatically sorting all my spam. Like, what accounts do I really need? What's really important? And maybe we need to set up web services that allow people to host at home, these bounce services that can be shared or deployed. Like, you want to run your email server at home, okay. Well, what do you need to do that? You want to run a DNS server at home? Like, critical infrastructure. Do you even want to run a DNS server? I think you do. So, boy oh boy, this is going to be crazy. We could also get bare metal servers, but which ones are not going to? See, this is the other thing. Parler's like, I guess they're hooked into Amazon. They never thought, oh, I could get censored. And I suppose you could make an app that's a generic one that could be used See, this is the thing. I think we need to really get away from these apps. And just go with web pages, WebAssembly, or something. We could do a lot with that. Rust and WebAssembly. So, yeah, this is going to be a journey. This is going to be a journey. And it's by imposing restrictions upon ourselves, or defining a problem clearly, and I really think the framing should be disaster resilient. And I think Raspberry Pis are going to be part of the solution, of course, because people are just going to want to run a Raspberry Pi as well. They're not going to want to all run a big server. We need stuff that will also run on the Pi. We need stuff that'll run on the phone. We talked about all of this before. But we also need a central storage system with backups and all that. Well, I have servers. I need to start repurposing those. I need to start using what I have as well, taking inventory of all my IT equipment and see what can be used for what. Maybe even a catalog of some kind. IT room where everything's all laid out. Where I have everything handy. Server racks with nice wiring and cooling and electricity and backups. Physical security. Network security. We got lots of things to think about here, kids. Stuff on the go. We need also something on the go. All right. So what else is new, kids? Yeah, I'm a little bit upset, to be honest. And it's not that I support any kind of violence of any form. And I wish we could all just get along, really. And I'm not even saying I want to host services for other people. Just me and my fam. And if I get enough people in my family network to host the server, and it's got to be as simple as buy this box and stick it here, like an appliance. It's got to be a freedom appliance. You gotta be able to pair them together and have the data sync. So we gotta think about all this. Like, from ease of use, it's like you have an old phone, you have a computer, you have a laptop. Run this program. Or just visit this website. Okay. And then we also have to make it so the data is encrypted at rest. So if the servers get captured, that nothing can be really read from them. All right. Well, I think this is a pretty good... I mean, we talked about all this in various degrees before. But I never thought that Amazon would censor a freedom of speech app. I mean, that is just insane. So we really need to start getting into web hosting that's not censored. And we gotta think about peer-to-peer. Satellite. Okay. Okay, so let's talk about something else now. You know, as you know, the last couple of episodes we've been studying biosemiotics and process philosophy. And I listened to this great talk yesterday on Whitehead. And the guy was making the case about cosmology and how cosmology is fitting everything together. How everything fits together. Cosmology. And that's kind of what we're doing here in the Stream of Random. We're developing alternative cosmologies. They were saying that science leaves out the why. And the cause, the final cause of everything. Well, we're trying to bring the final cause back in. And I'd like to say, well, first of all, on this topic of free speech and all that, and it's really the question of, are you associated with people who are advocating violence and all that? And Parler said that they deal with that. And I'm saying, I don't want to host it myself. If someone wants to use my software to host it themselves, to host their own hate speech, you know, that's like saying we're going to ban iPhones because people use them for hate speech, or ban Windows, or ban the printing press. How's that? We have to ban all the printing presses because someone could So we need to call the software the printing press. And it's going to produce PDFs and HTML and all these different forms. That embody your ideas. It's a semiosis, the creation of symbols. Symbol excretion. The encapsulation of standalone information. And, yeah, semiosis means like creation of symbol. By the way, I'm walking down the street in the middle of the night, in case you didn't know that. This is the Stream of Random podcast. We don't have any sponsors. We don't do too much self-promotion here. And we think that talking about yourself is just another form of self-promotion. So let's stop that. It's just another form of advertising. We don't like advertising, even advertising ourselves. So, back to the process. So, I'm going to throw this at you, kids. If you look at life on this planet as a living process, and that's it. Look at the entire life form. Life in all of its forms, and all of the people, and everything all together, the summation of all the life on this planet, and say it's a living process. It's one living process. It's the planetary life form. Now, it may express itself in individuals that collaborate together somehow. But it's an evolving and changing and adapting life force, life process that has been here for billions of years. And it's nonstop. It never paused. It never took a break. It didn't go on vacation. I mean, sure, if a comet hit, it might have gone underground. May experiences some ups and some downs, some highs and some lows. Now let's look at the universal life force that's on many, many planets, we're postulating here, we're speculating that there is some kind of fungus. This is cosmology here. We're just bringing in some assumptions. And we're going to think that the fungus has spread across the universe in its life. Even the spores that are frozen, they're alive, sleeping. I guess that's when it's taking its break. Spreading across the universe, expanding across the waves of solar radiation, somehow propagating and finding places to land and grow. So in that case, the universe is alive, the whole thing. We're just a little piece of it. Tiny little piece. An ant colony. Where there's swarms of ants. We got to think about the vastness of the galaxy and how many planets there are. And if life can spread out here, it can spread out everywhere. And what is it that's holding us back? What is it that we can't I also think that the holding us back is a good thing because it gives us our safe space to grow in. And maybe we're not ready. You know, if we look at this whole issue of freedom of speech, wow, that's a weird sound. I really should go to the farmer's market. It's Saturday morning, they gotta be there. Okay. So I was trying to get at the point here. That maybe it's our own unreadiness, let's say, that is holding us back. Maybe the alien or intergalactic thing is here, it's us. We are the aliens. Should we think about that? we are the alien species here. Like, the whole life on this planet is the alien. Just showed up. It's like, yeah, hey, we're here now. We're gonna like colonize this planet. Is the fungus not the colonizing force we're talking about here? That everyone's fighting against? The So, something to think about. But yeah, if it's just that simple that people want to denounce the violence, I definitely denounce the violence. Stupidest move ever. They weren't practicing OPSEC, allowing their people to go in there. Out of control. And that's what happened. You know, these are just lessons here of you can't trust anybody, especially on the internet. You just don't know. So, then we get into this whole question of if we're all descendants of the fungus. And maybe some of the spores that came out, let's see, the DMT or whatever. I'm just going to assert that there's been waves of updates. McKenna said that these beings got control of their DNA and they transform themselves into the fungus and set themselves out. That's what I was talking about as well, how when the universe explodes, but this would even before then, maybe it's not the universe. Maybe this is like a Scientology thing where the planet or the sun is exploding and that's sending out the spores, the updates across the galaxy. People who before they died they uploaded themselves into the fungus and then they packed themselves into the spores and sent out the spores across the galaxy to update the others, that the life on the planets started out simple and it had a leapfrogging effect of updates being sent out. And because of the vast distances, the spores were the best way to do it. That that the spores might contain some Does that mean that we're constantly being rained down spores from outer space? That there's always new informational updates coming in? Or have we learned to tune in to a different channel, different dimension, and get the updates in a faster way? And this is where we get into the question of telepathy, interdimensional information travel, or was it Bell's theorem? And I don't know enough about this, how it would actually work. But maybe it involves silencing our mind and just listening. Just mapping out my route, which way I have to go to get to the farmer's market. I know this city like the back of my hand now, kids. Got it all worked out in my head. I do. That's one benefit of walking everywhere. You really think about where you are and where you're going. Your orientation. How long is it going to take you to get there? How are you going to get back? What do you have to carry? Think about all those things. It's also about the experience, kids. The experience of life. The freedom of walking. Your own feet, not needing a car, not having to pay the Rockefeller tax to move. But sure, it's nice to have some nice synthetics on your body. Material science is great. Yep, it's time to do some inventory, kids. Get all the hardware rounded up. All these hard drives. Figure out what's good, what's bad. What works, what doesn't work. To assess. And to catalog and to inventory what we have. The assets, our hardware assets. Informational assets. All right. Yep. That's correct. So, I think we need to listen, as I said, to ourselves and our mind, and then to clear it of everything, to acknowledge our weaknesses and our hang-ups, to understand them and to move on, not get stuck on them, and then eventually when we've cleaned up our mind of the muddy waters, we can see through this bubble or sphere or lens into the world as it really is. And if that world as it really is contains some message from someplace else, then we'll see it clearly. And if there is no message, then we'll see that clearly. So, I started listening to or watching the midnight gospel that Chris suggested. That was interesting. Was interesting. I watched one episode of it. But I'm interested in the process philosophers right now. And the process of life. Process of life. All right. Well, I think we've reached a point here in our trip segment where I've gotten out some of my ideas. We could recap some of them, start traveling back to revisit, to touch on them again. Maybe to reinforce some of the ideas. First of all, I'm not afraid, and I will not be afraid of big tech censorship. I refuse to live in fear of social media. I did nothing wrong. I do not endorse any violence. And I think that America is built on freedom. And that we, the people, need to detach ourselves from these large companies that have overgrown. They have also overstepped themselves. You know, just like the protesters went too far, went to going to the Capitol, well, big tech has gone too far. And I'm sure that there's people who work there that are also upset, but they can't say anything because they live in the bubble and they can't escape. And we have to go back to the world of free software. And Mr. Stallman, who was right as always on many things, until they went after him too. Isn't that funny how that works? And I guess they'll come after me someday. And the question is, are you ready for that? I remember the newspaper turned my words against me when I was promoting a smoking ban. They said, they just tried to say, oh, he's just some guy, he just moved here and he wants to change things. That was the story. The story was some dude shows up and wants to change us. Attack him. Yep. Yep, that was it. And then some fundamentalist Christians. Oh my God, this whole story about all the stuff that happened in Kansas. How we were fighting the city. I don't even want to go into it all of it now, but basically, they rerouted traffic through a little street next to our house. And they didn't plan on what would happen. They didn't plan it properly. And we raised a protest on social media. On the internets. So, yep. Yeah, and big tech is also OpenStreetMap and Wikipedia and all of that. Great ideas, but centralized authoritarian systems. And we need to take that back. And do you really need the whole world? And do you need all the articles? Or you just need some of them? And if we have a whole network of servers, and some people care about these things, and some people care about these things, we also have to think about what knowledge we need. If shit gets worse, and things fuck up, I guess I am advocating prepping. Digital doomsdayers, let's call it that. What are you going to take with you in your spaceship? How's that? What information are you going to encode in your fungus packets to send to the other planets? Do you just send a combination, a number, a receptor, or what is it called, a transmitter, a neurotransmitter, that just opens the gate and lets you walk through to the other side? Where do you send all the packages? Do you send a pointer, or do you send the data itself? That's the question. And if you don't send the data, where's the data stored? How is it actually transmitted? Alright, kids, I think we're gonna take a break here. I'm gonna hit pause. Minutes, that's pretty good.